Hour number two of the Blitz coming at you right now. Rick, Brandon, Chance, Davis here with you for another hour before we are sending you into Talk Sports with John, Cody, Ben. I imagine Cam is going to be there as well. If you don't have anything going on this afternoon, head to Jets Pizza in Farragut, located right next to the Shrimp Dock. The Drive will be out there doing their show live from Jets. Happy hour from 11 to 7 every day. They have $2 pints. Go enjoy a couple of those while you sit back and listen to the show. So that will be a good time. Brandon, how are you doing with your list?
I think I've completed it.
All right. I mean, we're not gonna bring it out right now. We'll give you a little while to kind of think over it, edit it. You know, and this is not the final product. Your final rankings will come, I told you, on Friday.
Okay.
All right. So this is a rough draft, a tease, if you will.
Yeah, I've got some homework to do on each of the fan-run personalities.
Wow, that's big.
To dig deep.
Now, don't mess this up, because the last time that Russell and I did a system where we talked about each person at the fan-run studios, it was met with an absolute landslide of criticism, hate, just absolute bitterness.
Well,
everybody hated it.
Well, you can't. Somebody's going to get mad at the list. So, I mean, it's just the way it is.
In our case, everyone got mad at the list.
Hopefully,
not one person that liked it.
Hopefully, people are self-aware and can do a little homework on Ric Flair. Drip themselves and
yeah, you can maybe, know he had 16 world championships.
I mean, hopefully, you can realize that. Hey, maybe you don't have as much as some of the other people here. So it's nothing personal. I love everyone here. So don't get offended at the Ric Flair drip rankings.
It okay. is kind of funny to kind of look back on that article, right, and see who ended up with what character. Like, I'm pretty sure in this case, Tanner Carson goes home the king, because I'm pretty sure, let's see, yeah, Tanner Carson got listed as Bran Stark.
No.
Myself? Arya?
No.
I killed the Night King.
No.
I did it.
No, it's terrible.
Who made these rankings?
Me and Russell.
And Rick. Oh,
terrible.
I think they're outstanding.
No.
You're still upset about yours.
I love the bias.
I didn't even make mine. I was said as Arya Stark.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not. Russell picked mine for me.
Did he pick his? I heard the real story behind that is that you did all the work and Russell piggybacked on some of the credit.
Russell made a fair amount.
Just
of
say
the
it,
list.
Rick.
I will not.
Just say it.
I will say what I've always said. Russell made a fair amount of the list. I did a lot of
it's not
the.
Not what the truth is.
A
though.
Lot of it. Well, you don't know what the truth. Nobody knows what the truth
no,
is
heard,
except me and Russell.
I heard Russell did it.
Everybody
he came up with the
knows.
Idea. You
Everyone
did all the legwork, and Russell put his name on it.
I did not come up with the idea.
I said Russell came up with the idea. You did all the legwork, and Russell put his name on it.
It was a. It was a good amount of both. I will stand by that. I will always stand by
what,
that.
What was his character? He didn't make himself any bad character.
Russell
either.
Was Littlefinger.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Notice he didn't. He didn't make himself like you know anybody bad or anybody that was gonna die. Who was Jon Snow?
Littlefinger was. Well, he was certainly dead at this point.
Lord Baelish. But who was Jon Snow?
Jon Snow. I don't even know. I don't think we had a Jon Snow.
Just a trash list then. You know, if you don't have
yeah,
John
you didn't
Snow.
The main character.
I mean, no one at the station feels
no
like
Daenerys.
No
Daenerys.
Daenerys was Houston Cress.
All right, we're not getting back into this list. We're not.
Yeah,
no.
You're gonna get triggered.
No,
that's pretty bad.
All right, well, let's get into this Gary Patterson story.
All right, so like we mentioned last hour, pretty sure ESPN did an article about this
two
last
years ago
season.
Yeah, or a year ago.
David Ubben from The Athletic. Kind of gives his take on it. He's talking to Gary Patterson. And he mentions, this is what David Ubben says to Gary Patterson. He says, you know, Gary, people around Tennessee talk about you like the one that got away. Gary Patterson says, oh, yeah? You don't know why they didn't hire me? So then He goes on to say, they thought I was too much of a football coach.
Yeah, didn't think he was ready, huh?
They didn't think I could handle the spotlight. And just kind of going back to that.
You mad Gary Patterson never was coach here after, like, you know, knowing all that stuff?
I mean, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, yeah, you would take Gary Patterson over. I mean, I think anybody would take taking Gary Patterson over Derek Dooley at the time. I mean, he had a losing record at Louisiana Tech. Had been to like one or two bowl games. I can't remember exactly, but it was not a good resume. So yeah, I think most people would take.
Would you Gary still Patterson. Take him?
Yeah.
Over Jeremy Pruitt.
Yes.
Yeah,
I absolutely would.
Tomorrow, they say we can trade coaches. You get Gary Patterson, TCU gets Jeremy Pruitt. You making that trade?
Yes.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, he's a proven head coach. I mean, he's been a head coach for over 10 years now.
And he's done it at TCU nonetheless too, right? It is obviously a Texas college where you are competing over that time span against each of these teams that have been a top 10, a top 5 program at the time between the University of Texas, you have Texas A&M, you have Baylor, you have Texas Tech. Like, all of these are probably better on the totem pole for recruiting than TCU is. And yet he still does what he does with the talent that he has, when really he gets third pickings, fourth pickings, maybe even fifth.
Yeah, I mean, the head coaching experience is what does it for me. I find it, I mean, you go back 10 years. Because, I mean, it's been 10 years since all this went down. You go back 10 years, Mike Hamilton is your athletic director. And the reasoning is they thought he was too much of a football coach. It's just so bizarre for that to be the reason. You're hiring a damn football coach.
Oh, he's Brandon.
No,
don't get worked up.
Can you be too much of a football coach if that? Okay, let's just say this. If I'm hiring
a math teacher,
a mechanic, anything. Oh, I'm not gonna. He's too much of a math teacher. He's too much. He's too much of a mechanic for us to hire. How does that make any sense?
He was too much of a football guy.
How does that make sense? How is that a bad thing?
He wasn't going to be able to put him out there in front of the people.
But we fast forward
yeah.
10 years, and look where we're at.
We got
what
two guys
Jeremy Pruitt?
Who we believed were showmen who would work great in front of the people. And what happened? The people turned. The people turned on the guys that they put out in front of us who thought they would be people, guys, quote-unquote, and maybe less on the football side of things. To me, that is so much of what has gotten Tennessee in the place it's been at, is, you know, maintaining a certain image, right? Well, we don't want to get the guy who's just a football coach. We got to get the guy, you know, who can be on the commercials, who can do the TV shows. We got to get those guys, because those guys will draw interest to the program away from the football field.
The thing is, what you want a little bit of both. I know, like, that may sound like silly, but, like, no, you do. Like, Saban, football guy, also a guy that they don't, that Alabama, and he's, you win titles, you win a lot of games.
But Saban works horribly with the media.
I'm not even saying anything, but, like, he still can be out there with the media, and he still does well. Like, it's not a big deal, and if you win, it's none of that's going to matter. But when you're losing and you don't have somebody that, you know, you can put out there, and that's what people think. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Like, that is what – it's also a PR thing too. Like, you know, not saying it was right. Tennessee should have got Gary Patterson. Yeah, they probably should have got him. Not saying Mike Hamilton knew what he was talking about, but I'm saying that's how ADs think. Like, you also got to have the guy that's going to be able to go out there and sit in front of the podium, the press conference, the boosters, you know.
But if you get a guy,
the quarterback club.
But if you get a guy like Derek Dooley, like Butch Jones, who clearly, after only a couple of years, you can tell it's very evident they just don't have it. The PR, the being able to talk your way out of, the being able to sound good, it only gets you so far. If you can win football games, that's the other part will take care of itself.
Yeah, and you know, you look what happened to those ADs. I really think that there is this cultural shift, and really that shift came when Philip Fulmer took the helm of, hey, what made the University of Tennessee, what made us who we are, is that we went out on the football field and we won games, right? That's what we did. It wasn't about, you know, going out there and you know, talking to the media and whatnot. And obviously, yes, it's a different time, right? There is so much more social media interaction. There's more TV cameras. There's more reporters. There's so much more of this and that, right? But. Man, it's so hard for me to wrap my mind around why you wouldn't better the football program with a football coach, right? And I guess like I can understand it, right? Because you do have advertisers and you do have sponsors and you do have people that they need to be on a TV commercial with.
Well, I mean, and not to cut you off, Rick, but Look at Rick Barnes. Look at Rick Barnes when he got here. He was nothing like Bruce Pearl or Donnie Tindall, guys who were out there pumping up the program, being big PR guys out in the public spotlight. Rick Barnes wasn't doing any of that. He came in here. Yeah, we sucked those first 2 years. We were terrible. But he stuck to his plan. He knew what he wanted to do. And now look, two NCAA tournament appearances and an SEC championship, Sweet 16, and the future looks bright. You don't, if you have the right guy, just because they're not flashy, just because they're not good behind a mic, if you think that they're the guy for the job, hire them. I mean, it makes no sense to me. And that just shows the level of incompetence that we had running things around here from whether that's from the president of the university, from the chancellor, the athletic director, all of it was just a complete mess, just a complete pile of ineptitude. And now we think things are finally, the worm's finally starting to turn. I mean, you had John Curry showed his level of incompetence. He's out. You've got an interim president in Randy Boyd. You've got a new chancellor, Dondi Plowman. You've got a new athletic director. Well, he's been there for a year now, but Philip Fulmer. Maybe things are finally starting to. You're finally starting to get solid leadership and Tennessee people who know this university making decisions. And I think that's key. I think that's an important part of it. 865-546-8200. These are numbers if you want to join us. Keep talking about this a little bit. We might continue this, kind of wrap it up a little bit into the next segment. Take a quick break right here. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
That's the number to get on the Blitz today. We've been all over the place. Yeah. I just like to say today, in case people were wondering. Brandon, don't correct me. Don't do that. I've been all over the
place. Just letting people know.
I know.
Today and every day.
We've been all over the place.
It was a rotating phone number.
I mean, we do have other numbers.
That would be no fun for anyone.
No fun for anybody.
What's the number going to be today?
Just tune tweet in it. And find out.
Tweet it out. Live updates.
Brandon, how are you doing with your rankings?
I feel like they're good. I told you.
You said you were making more changes to them.
I said I would by Friday. I said I think I have them right now.
All
right.
Well, that'll come up.
I kind of want to wait and hear them Friday. You're not going to do them today, are you?
He's got the top five. What should we do? What should we do?
Let's
just hold off. Let's hold off until Friday.
All right. Well, hold on.
You got to build.
Friday's going to be a packed show. We got some new stuff coming for you on Friday. So, Chance, you just mentioned we've been all over the place. I'm going to take us in a completely new direction.
Oh, no.
If you are not happy with how Game of Thrones ended, you're not alone. Because I would say the majority of the audience probably feels the same way about how the last season ended. There were many points that you could look back at and be maybe a little frustrated with, not really love what they did, the direction they took. And Miguel Sabochik, he was one of the directors for the final season. Right? You have Dan and Dave, who were, I guess, the executive producers, right? But this Miguel guy, he was one of the directors. And so he did an interview for a podcast with IndieWire, and he was talking about some of the things that he noticed from the last season. He specifically pointed to the Battle at Winterfell episode. Right, and Brandon, what was the one big critique coming out of the Battle of Winterfell?
No one died.
Nobody important died. Right, I guess, Jorah did, right? But, you know.
No one important died.
There you go. So, he came out and he said this. I wanted to kill everybody. I wanted to kill Jorah in the horse charging at the beginning. I was up for killing absolutely everyone. I wanted it to be ruthless. So that in the first 10 minutes, you say, all bets are off. Anybody could die. And David and Dan did not want to. There was a lot of back and forth on that. Then he went on to say, I think a key is like, it's not my show, right? I didn't come up with the show and make it. I'm a hired director to go out and do that. They have let me in and let me be involved, and I really love doing that. But Final Cut is not mine. Final Cut is theirs. It is their choice. But man, this Miguel guy, he should have been the executive producer. His plan is much better. That's what we wanted. Like that right there. He said, I want to kill everyone. All bets are off. In the first 10 minutes of the episode, right, Jorah dies, and you're just like, oh, they're doing the thing. They're doing the thing that Game of Thrones sometimes does where something happens and anything could follow it. I mean, the whole kind of mindset during that episode was like, man, like this is crazy. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? But if they had done that in the first 10 minutes, it would have been like, what are they going to do next? I don't even know. It would have been so much better. I like the way that Miguel is thinking here.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rick. It would have been a lot better if you had Jorah dying in the horse charge. Just gets absolute, just run down.
Just beheaded. But then
who saves Daenerys there at the end?
Jon?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess that was also part of her descent into madness, right? Because she saw, you know, her two best friends die. Also, let's go ahead and chuck up a spoiler warning. Although, if you have been spoiled, you're probably very upset with us.
A little bit too late. You got to put that out there before.
If you don't want any more spoilers, Rick's giving you a spoiler alert.
That's right. We haven't spoiled the major plot.
You just found if you've not watched, you just found out that that
what you just did.
I gave a spoiler alert. You can say whatever you want.
But you were like, well, we hadn't really spoiled it if Daenerys dies. And like, what if somebody literally just like, because it's
then
a new,
that's their fault.
No, it's a new enough series, Rick, that people might have just started watching it because of all the hype, and they're like, oh, I want to finally give it a shot. And it's over, so some people like to watch everything so they don't have to wait. So now I can watch it all.
I mean, it only ended about
3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, a month ago.
About a month.
Yeah, Rick, come on, dude.
About a month ago. Well, you should have listened to my spoiler warning. I
you
gave
didn't
it.
Really kind of give
it's
it.
It's not my fault.
You stated that there was no spoilers going on, then under your breath you said Daenerys dies.
Well, I gave a big one out before that, though. I said, also, you know, if you've already stuck through this far, spoiler
Maybe
warning.
Maybe Davis hasn't even seen Game of Thrones or something. Maybe he was going to watch it. Not anymore.
He's Davis not going to watch it.
Davis
He's
is not
the
Game
it.
Of Thrones guy?
No, Davis. Do you have a reason for it?
It's not his style. It's weird.
Weird.
Oh, he's not Dungeons and Dragons
sounds
guy.
Sounds like a bear.
I'm not Dungeons and Dragons guy either. Big Game of Thrones guy.
I like Dungeons and Dragons.
I kind of like Dungeons and Dragons too.
I've never played. I'm not saying I wouldn't be.
I think you would like it.
House of Catan.
Settlers of Catan.
I'm just saying, Davis. Open your mind. Give Game of Thrones a chance. You will not regret.
Trust me. You've heard all these spoilers. You won't even remember them. That's the thing.
People always say you won't remember.
You won't remember.
You don't. Yes, you do.
No.
Yes, you do. I remember when Brandon spoiled Avengers for me.
I found out.
Oh, how did this spoil happen?
I don't even remember.
I will be the
It is a long time ago because
for Endgame?
No. It was Lost. War. Lost.
Lost.
You've never heard of
I thought
Lost?
We were talking about Avengers.
No, we're just talking about things being spoiled and how you remember when people spoil things.
Oh, well, I want to know how you spoiled Avengers.
Oh.
Did you give a spoiler warning?
No.
No, he didn't.
All I said was...
You're in the wrong, sir.
All I said was...
All the Avengers died, and I'm driving down the road.
I said all the Avengers died. How's that a spoiler? Everyone knew that that's what happened.
No, if you hadn't seen it yet, you didn't know that. You didn't go into that knowing that everybody was dying.
I did not list anyone specifically.
If you were on the dirt sheets, you did. If you weren't, you probably didn't know that.
It is okay that you didn't say any names.
You said everyone. So technically, you were wrong.
But what he's not pointing out is that whole time when that movie came out, I had like done my due diligence. I had muted things on Twitter.
Wow.
I had like.
Then that's kind of sucks.
And then I'm just driving down the road and I was planning to watch it that Saturday. It was like a week and a half after, but that was the time. I worked two jobs. I had to do that. Everybody's like, oh, the Avengers died. I was like, damn it, I don't even want to go watch it now.
But I wasn't entirely right.
You weren't.
True.
But still.
You didn't know who was going to die.
Spoiler alert, they all come back. Except Black Widow.
But. You remember things when people spoil them.
You can't just be like, now you're just throwing out spoiler alerts because you want to.
Full spoiler
Because you want to. Because you want to.
Because
spoiler
I
alert.
Can. That's it.
You just like ruining
because
movies.
Because I can.
You're that
if
guy.
If you're listening to this to the rest of this segment at this point, and you haven't seen the things that we're talking about, that's on you. I'm sorry.
Are you that guy?
We're obviously giving away spoilers.
If I say, hey, I DVR'd the football game, you're going to tell me the score just because I said I already DVR'd it? You're that guy, ain't you?
No, I'm going to let you watch your football game. Mm. Now, if I tweet something about it, I don't really find fault in that. I'm tweeting about a live sporting event. But I won't, you know, if you say like, oh, I recorded the, you know, the Titans and the Jaguars, and I just be like,
I would never
21-14, boy! That's just obnoxious.
I feel like you might, and I would never record the Titans and the Jaguars, by the way. Jaguars.
I'm not giving scores away unless, you know, it's like I'm trying to make an Eagles fan miserable, right? If I knew an Eagles fan and the Cowboys were playing them and they were like, oh, I'm waiting until tonight, I'd be like, yeah, we won 28-3, so take that. That's the only way.
Is that what you would do?
That is what I would do.
Sounds like a Cowboys fan.
I wouldn't be in contact with any Eagles fans at that point. Oh, also, the Cowboys and the Eagles are the NFL's best rival.
Yeah, who cares?
That came out today.
No one cares. Except maybe.
So you got Lost spoiled for you?
Yeah. So this has been a long time ago. And I found out the end. Spoiler alert if you've not seen Lost.
I haven't seen
it. And if you plan to watch it.
I've never seen Lost. I'm not going to watch it.
Okay.
I might.
Well,
you're going to walk out the room then.
It's going to be the same thing that happened to me. So in the end, it turns out they all died in the crash.
Oh, it's one of those?
Yeah.
It was like a dream or something?
It's like, yeah, kind of.
It was like somebody was dreaming.
Yeah, they all died.
They all died.
Yeah.
It just like what flashes to like a news story about the crash or something at the end. And it's like
I don't remember. I just know that they all died. So I've never went back and watched it because of that.
Who spoiled
it? I don't even remember. Same way with The Sopranos. I know how The Sopranos... I know how it just go. Like, I know the ending. I know the ending. And I know a lot of people are rewatching The Sopranos. It's... For some reason... It's
don't just throw out a spoiler alert because you can, like Rick.
I'm not going to spoil you. It because I know a lot of people watching The Sopranos right now. But I know how it ends. And I've tried many times to forget, but anytime somebody mentions Lost, Sopranos, and I'm like, I should watch that, I automatically think to the end, and I know it. And I know I should probably still watch the show because it's a great show, but I just haven't because I know how it is.
It's not about the result. It's about the journey that you take to get there.
What?
If I know the score of the Tennessee football game, doesn't mean it wasn't an incredibly good game to watch. If you tell me the end of Avengers Endgame, that doesn't mean that the whole first part of the movie wasn't incredible to watch.
But like, you don't want to. Like but like Brandon says, you don't want to watch that for somebody told you the end.
Yeah, like this isn't an ideal situation. Obviously,
like The Sopranos, I will still probably watch. But Lost. No.
Not going to do it. I don't blame you. Totally understand. It's like if I was to record a game, any type of sporting event, and then somebody's like, oh, man, and they don't mean to. You see that game? It was awesome. Such and such killed. It might even be my team that won. I'm not watching the game now because I already have in my head the outcome. There's no need. Throws me off.
I can't do that. I can't DVR a game. It drives me crazy if I can't look and see the score.
Really?
I would rather look and see the score.
And, like, follow it on, like, the app?
Yeah, than to watch.
See, that's like, both of those takes are so interesting to me. And I know that, you know, so many people agree, but, you know, like, if for me, if there's a wrestling pay-per-view on Sunday night, and I might not get to it, right? And I might accidentally see what it was on Twitter and who won it. Maybe there was a title change or something. But, like, I'm always going to go back and watch it just because, even though I know the ending, like, it's still... Maybe I guess that's differently because, you know, you don't know when it's going to happen as opposed to the clock hitting zero. But, man, like, if the stuff in between the beginning and the end is still good, then, like, I am thoroughly entertained by it. Yeah, it does suck, you know, that it wasn't a surprise, but I don't know. Spoilers.
For me, though, if I DVR a football game, a Tennessee game, and I'm keeping up with it on my phone, or like I'm not. And Tennessee lose, I'm not going to want to go back and watch.
Oh, now that is true.
Regardless of if they make a big play here or there, if it's close, if it's a good game, I'm not going to want to watch that.
You'll see the highlights.
No, I won't.
Oh,
if we lose, no.
You won't watch anything?
I don't want to experience that. I mean, I'll watch a little.
What if we have to talk about it in 2 days?
You're
just going to say, I didn't watch it. I was angry.
I mean, this is very rare
that
this happens. But if a situation ever did, I would not go back and watch the game if we lost. No. I'm not putting myself through that.
I probably wouldn't either. That just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a game we shouldn't lose. Which there'll be hopefully none of those this year. Hopefully none of those. We're going to win all the ones we should. He says with his fingers crossed. 30 more minutes coming up left in the Blitz today. I almost said the drive. I was thinking about the drive being at Jets Pizza in Farragut today. Go out there and hang out with them 3 to 6 p.m. Brandon might be there. I don't know. Go find out.
I will not be there.
You keep telling people that Brandon's going to be there. He's telling me he's not going to be there.
I'm hoping Brandon's there.
No.
He's going to be recycling all the Jets pizza boxes.
Rick will be there.
Are you a big recycler? Do you recycle, Rick?
Do I recycle? I try to. I'm going to be honest. I don't recycle.
You just lie.
As much
catch
as
you on the other side.
I like to compost, too.
So 2 days out from the NBA draft, and there's two kind of directions that I want to take this segment in. First, I want to talk about what is your interest level right now in the NBA draft, kind of knowing where the top three picks or so, where they're going, because it seems like those are certainly cemented. It feels like Zion Williamson is obviously a lock for New Orleans. John Morant is a lock for Memphis. And it feels like RJ Barrett is a lock for the Knicks.
Yep.
Right? And I feel like once you kind of get out of the top five, you know, maybe your team's got a pick in there that you're waiting on. But what is your guys' interest level for the NBA draft as a whole? Because I can say that I've never really sat down and watched an entire NBA draft from start to finish. Like, I'll watch the top 10. I'll see where they're.
I think it's better to watch because it's much faster, obviously. You only have, like, you know, the two rounds that you're going to be watching. And it's a lot better than the NFL draft for me. Also, big basketball fan, noted. But it's not – I'm excited to see, like, probably watch the first 10. I'll generally watch the entire draft if I'm able to. Thursday night, but you know, I watched the first 10 picks, kind of really keep a lot of focus on that. The Bulls fan, they got the number 7th pick again. They've had like the number 7 pick like the last 4 out of 5 years, which really is a tough spot where you don't really get a lot of value. It's tough, but it'd be surprising to see like Coby White, dude from North Carolina. He was talked about being in that 7 to 10 range. Now he's talked about teams maybe trying to trade up for him, and he might crack into the top 5. Like you said, we know where Zion's going. We know where all the big hitters. Cam Reddish, is he going to be the number 4th pick? He was, you know, part of that big 3 for Duke. Other guys out there, Culver at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
He's going to be a lottery pick. He should be up there. So a lot of interesting names out there to watch. We'll keep our eyes obviously on the Vols. Late first round is where I'm thinking Admiral goes. I'm thinking 26, 27 pick. Maybe the Bucks really. There was a lot of chatter with him and the Bucks. I still think Grant goes early second round. He has the potential to be the first round. I guess late first round, but I think he's going to be a second round guy. And I think Jordan Bone goes late second round. I think he does get drafted though.
So here's something interesting that I just stumbled upon a couple minutes ago.
You stumbled.
I did. I stumbled right into it.
Be careful.
Thank you.
Watch out. You got to stumble?
Totally lost my train.
What?
I was trying to figure out how to respond to you.
Anyway, you stumbled on something. What is it? What did you stumble upon?
So I stumbled upon another big board, although it's much different than what we found the other day, right? So we talked about one the other day that listed Admiral Schofield at 45, and it listed Grant Williams at 16. So pretty fair difference there, right? So another one comes out 13 hours ago, and this one's from Evan Daniels at 247 Sports, and it is significantly different. So they have Grant Williams at 25 to, I guess, it has Portland next to it. This says it is a mock draft. So it has Grant Williams going to Portland, right, 25, kind of in the area that we've expected him to go. But then you go to Admiral, and they have him at 23 to Utah. Now, I certainly think that it feels like everything that we've been hearing coming out of the draft is that the Jazz love Admiral. Feels like we've seen countless mock drafts that have sent him there with his 23rd pick. I think he certainly could be a first-round talent, but I do think he goes in the first round simply because if Utah's got him available right there, it feels like they're going to pick him, which is weird because, you know, both of these guys are phenomenal talents, especially at the college level, and they certainly could transition into the NBA very nicely. So, you know, wherever you feel on whose is better, you know, it's a little bit of kind of just going back and forth. But, man, it is interesting to see, you know, what they have here and the fact that they got Grant Williams a couple spots behind. They got Admiral to Utah like we've seen a bunch. So that's going to be my prediction, is I think they do both go in the first-round pick because I think that Grant Williams is certainly a first-round talent, and not that Admiral isn't. I think he could go in either one, but, man, it feels like he's going to go here to Utah. No doubt about it.
I'm with you. I think they like him. He's another guy. He would fit their core pretty well too. You talk about they like to Quinn Snyder. They like to do a lot of like drill, penetrate, stretch the floor. Admiral can shoot that corner three. They utilize Joe Ingles a lot for that. Everybody pretty much plays off of Spida Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell. So that would be a good spot for him. That's not like you go to a team where there's not just like too big of a star or too big of stars on the team, and it's a lot of younger guys mixed in with some veterans. Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year. So that's a good team that's like fighting to like prove themselves and to try to earn a name in the West and be a consistent playoff team and actually maybe compete for a West championship one day. So if Admiral, I mean, that'd be a good spot for him. I always like when a guy, you know, can go to a team that's not really established, but they're working to get something. They're not the bottom of the league. They're not, you know, at the top, but they're working towards something. And they've had this plan in process for like the last 3 years too. Quinn Snyder's a hell of a coach too. I like him a lot. He's one of my favorite coaches in the NBA.
I would put my interest in the draft scale from 1 to 10,
like a 5. You like
no.
Five.
No.
Higher?
I would say about a 7.
Okay. That's good. Proud
I'd say
of
about a 7. I'll definitely watch all the first round, and I'll probably watch until all the Tennessee players get taken. I want to see where they go.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely watch the first round. I would like to see where Grant goes, because I do think Grant will go first round. I think Admiral will go very early second. Could squeak into the first.
I'm still
sticking
by. I think Admiral's going to go before Grant. You know, I know we had said that a couple weeks ago. You guys thought that a little crazy, but I just think that his game right now translates a little bit better because of how he's able to shoot the three ball. And then when you look at Grant, he just didn't do as well in the combine. But Grant's like a project player. I mean, they both are because they'll be rookies. But Grant's like the guy probably go to the right team. And, you know, maybe you add a three-point shot in the next 2 years, something like that. Like, I think there's still, like, he has so much potential where he could be a really great star once he gets the three-point ball.
Yeah, Grant Ramey, 247, he kind of put together the latest projections of where – different sports outlets have these guys going. So Kyle Boone from CBS has Grant going 25 to the Trailblazers, has Schofield going 37 to Dallas, and has
love that
Bone going second round 53rd overall to the Jazz.
Now I have heard a lot of, you know, I keep up with it very much, and I do know that Dallas is very interested in Schofield. I do not believe that they've worked him out in person yet, but everything that I have heard coming out of there is that if he falls all the way to 37, I do think that could very well potentially be a landing spot for him. I cannot imagine he would get past 37 because I know that they very much like him.
ESPN... got Grant going 30th overall to the Bucks, Schofield 38 to the Bulls, and Bone 57 to the Pelicans.
I'd like Admiral to be a Bull. I'd continue to stay watching him. He's also from Chicago. Admiral's a Chicago kid, so he would get to go back home. So
I like how they have Bone in both of those. It's good to see him get some love.
NBADraft.net only had Grant and Bone getting drafted. Has Grant at 36 overall to the Hornets, so he get play for his hometown team, and then Bone 57 overall to the Pelicans. So two.
Well, that doesn't seem very likely. You know, when we think of two players getting drafted, it's not typically Grant and Bone, but you know, maybe they have something on that. I would be absolutely just dumbfounded. There's no way. I think the cool thing about it is that either Grant or Admiral could go anywhere from 20 to 35. I mean, who knows? You just got to tune in to find out. All right, that is that. 2 days away from the NBA draft, one segment away from Talk Sports. So we will get right there on the other side of the break. Some of you haven't heard. A couple more stuff coming up. Don't go anywhere. We got a packed couple of minutes left in the show. We will see you on the other side of the break. This is The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Final segment here of The Blitz. Got a couple minutes left. Brandon, could be some breaking news on the wire.
Yeah.
All-star center Al Horford of the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
Will decline to exercise his $30.1 million option for the 19-20 season. Could your boy become an unrestricted free agent? Could you lose Al Horford?
Well, Rick, if you would look for the other Woj bomb, you would see that he and the Celtics have mutual interest on a new deal.
So just reworking that deal, probably going to take less money so they can get some more pieces in there, it looks like. He had a $30.1 million option for next year. He'd be making $30 million. Wow, it's crazy Al Horford would be making $30 million, though.
Oof. Well,
I love Al Horford.
No, he's a quality player. Good role
Is
player.
Is he a workhorse?
He's a role player.
I love the term workhorse. I think it's hilarious. All right, who wants to start us out if you haven't heard? Raj, we will get to you in just 1 second. We're going to run through these so we can give you your time. Who's going to start us out?
Me.
Thor Bjornsson.
Oh, my man.
Is no longer the guy who plays the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Correct.
He is no longer the world's strongest man.
That sucks.
It does.
Is it an American who topped him, though?
Yes.
That doesn't suck.
Well, so here it is. 28-year-old Latvian-born American Martins Likas. Or Lichas.
Wow.
Let's go Lichas.
Okay, let's go Lichas.
They call him the Dragon, which is
wow.
A little ironic, right?
Wow.
It's a little ironic.
I love it.
But yeah. And then the Mountain came in third. So, not even second strongest man.
Now the news, NFL's favorite journeyman, Josh McCown. You guys know Josh McCown?
Yep.
He's played for 10 different teams during his 17-year career. Announced that he is retiring from the NFL after 17 years. That's pretty solid, man. 17 years. He might have played for many teams, but he made a lot of money. Shined here and there a little bit. It'd be weird not seeing McCown, though, in the league. 17 years, nobody plays in the NFL that long anymore.
Good for him. Good for him. 10 teams.
Yeah.
Played for a third of the league.
Yeah.
That is pretty incredible.
You ever seen the cool picture that his daughter, I believe, went to high school one day. Like they had like a spirit day or something like that, and she got her and all her friends to wear all of her dad's different jerseys. That was pretty cool. That was neat.
Wow. That would be kind of nuts just to see, you know, all 10 Josh McCown jerseys. I bet he's got a pretty cool man cave, you know, that's just got all of his jerseys lining the walls. All right, last one before we get to Roger. If you haven't heard, LeVar Ball still off his rocker. Talked about this yesterday. This will probably be the last time we talked about it because this guy is just a total nut job. He went on First Take exactly where I thought he would go. And basically, just a bunch of loony business came out of his mouth talking about how, you know, he set up the trade to send Lonzo to New Orleans by saying he didn't want him to go to New Orleans. ESPN has now condemned him from coming back on their shows because of a inappropriate remark he made towards the female host of First Take. This man should just, we're done with him. Can we move on? It is June 18th, 2019. Can we move on from LeVar Ball? I realize that's ironic considering
undefeated.
I just
Never
brought
lost.
Him into the show.
I mean, I thought we had. I thought we had moved on until Lonzo was traded. Now it seems like he's back, but hopefully
yeah.
He'll be gone again.
Well, he says he's staying in Los Angeles. I'm not entirely sure why. He just sent his other son to go play on the Australian League. Don't know what they're doing, but maybe this is it because he won't be in the same city as Lonzo. I don't know. It's 2019. It's June 18th. Let's just move on from LaVar Ball.
Undefeated, never lost. All right, let's go and take this quick call from Roger. Roger, what's on your mind?
Hello. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, buddy. How about doing yourself?
Doing fine. I just wanted to ask y'all this question. I was just curious. And it's early, but I just want to ask you. But it's Kevin's season, football season schedule. I just wanted to ask you. What things you have to do for the team? I know it's still early. Might have to wait and see. But I want to ask you what they have to do to be able to upset some team to be surprised this year. You think for I know the kids should be
excellent question, Roger.
You think to be able to upset some team? You know what I'm saying? Upset some team to be surprised. You think this year? You think?
Yeah, Roger. I think it's an excellent question. They got to go out, be aggressive, all the cliche stuff. They got to be a more physical team this year. We actually need to see some leaders on this roster. Now there's not really a lot more excuses going into year two. The guys should be, you know, well adapted to the coaching philosophy. There's gonna be a little kinks here and there with Jim Chaney, but it should be also a lot less complex. Jeremy Pruitt, Tyson Helton, they didn't get along for whatever reason. He didn't like his offensive philosophy. Don't know why he hired the guy, because you knew what type of offense he ran when he hired him. You know, you interviewed the guy, but that didn't work out. Now you got somebody coming in, Jim Chaney, be more of the pro style. They'll even probably do a lot of things to help out Jared Garantano, like Jim Chaney did with Crompton back in the day. He's a hell of a coordinator. I don't think you're going to have to worry too much, Raj. It should be a better season.
Man, I think that I'm excited to see where the defense is taking the second step under Jeremy Pruitt. So for me, if you want to upset some of the big teams, your offense has to follow in what the defense will be doing. I think this defense is going to be very good. You know, as we said, just kind of building on what the first year was. So that right there was today's edition of The Blitz. Go check out The Drive at Jets Pizza, 3-6. We will see you at the same time tomorrow, 10 a.m. Talk Sports coming up next. For Chance, Brandon, Davis, I'm Rick. We'll see you tomorrow on The Blitz. Go.